Hi, good evening, everybody. Glad that you can join us on this Saturday evening service. We welcome you. And today, we're going to share on the word from Acts 28. It's going to be a tag team. It's going to be Pastor Rajan and myself. I'm going to start off to give an introduction. And also, we can see how this word, the whole book of Acts, really means to our lives and how can we go about living it in the days to come. So, you know, in movies, right, we always like this thing called a trilogy. You have the prequel, you have the middle part, and you have the sequel. So in the book of Acts, if we wrap it up as we come to the end of this series, after 3 months, actually, 3 months that we've been going through this whole book of Acts series, now we are focusing on Acts, which is the middle part. You have the prequel, which is Luke, the book of Luke, which is written by the same author, Luke himself. And you're talking about the life of Jesus and really the whole ministry of Jesus and including the death of Jesus, everything. And then we move on to Acts. But there's also a sequel after that. There's the prequel, there's the current, and there's the sequel. So stay tuned. Pastor Rajan will be touching on the sequel part. What's after the book of Acts? How does it apply to our lives? For me, I'm just going to focus and bring you back again to close up this whole Acts series. Let's bring us back to the scripture that started it all for the book of Acts, which is Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." If you remember, there was a promo clip that we were showing before we started the book of Acts, and the theme line was this: God is not done yet. And throughout the whole book of Acts, you can see this theme appearing again and again: God is not done yet. And the same with Acts chapter 1 verse 8 just now. The whole book of Acts is trying to show how the gospel goes from Jerusalem to all Judea to all Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Different people, different setting, but then you see how the progression of the gospel has been spread throughout this whole time. And it doesn't end there. To the ends of the earth, well, there are people who have yet to hear about Jesus. There are people who have yet to hear the gospel. So God is not done yet. Now, when we talk about the book of Acts and how the gospel was spread, we always think like, wow, it's such a happy occasion. People go around telling about Jesus, what happened, miracles happen and everything. Yes, those things happen, but really, it wasn't as how we expected it to be. There was massive opposition from the Jewish leaders, from the Jews themselves. If you read the whole Paul missionary's journey, everywhere he go, there was opposition that come with it. But yet, in those oppositions, the church continued to grow. The word of God, Jesus' gospel, continued to be spread. And miracles, signs and wonders still happen in the midst of all this opposition. Not only opposition, there was death that happened. Because of the death of Stephen, all the believers started to scatter. But it didn't stop there. When they scattered, they continued to be the witness for Christ wherever they went. And that's how the gospel spread to all Judea, to Samaria. We had Philip, who went around to share the gospel, and God brought him to meet this eunuch, and after that, towards Samaria. And then Paul going around to all the different countries around there, all the nations, and preaching and sharing about Christ in all those places. But it took the death of Stephen to scatter all these believers. There was really a lot of opposition. It's really not how we expected the gospel to be able to spread like that. And lastly, the very man responsible for Stephen's execution, which was Saul at that time, was the very man God chose to be an instrument to share the gospel to many, many different places. It's really not how we expected. We always think that, okay, maybe pass on one another, a very happy occasion. But God chooses different people. God chooses different circumstances to happen so that His power, so that His word, so that His good news can be spread to all the people around. So if I were to entitle my message today, is that God's detours are His duty tours. God always makes us go unexpected ways. But yet, through all those times, how can we be ready? How can we continue to share Christ, to be that witness for Him, even through the unexpected situations? To bring you to a story and to a close for Acts 28, once again, we're going to read from Acts chapter 28. The overview is that this is Paul after being kind of arrested by the Romans, and he's now on his way to Rome. Even then, it's still not as how we expected. We thought, okay, easily he can sail all the way to Rome, no problem. But nope, it didn't. There were things that God was not done yet in Paul's life. 2 weeks, he was out in the storm. Imagine, 2 weeks on a boat, being tossed around, can't see the sky. All you feel is the wave going up and down. They had to lift up their anchor because once, if you put the anchor down, you'll most probably tear the ship apart. 2 weeks in that storm. 2 hours in that storm, I'll most probably be fainted already. I don't like boats. All those who went diving with me will know that I don't like sitting on boats. But 2 weeks on that kind of rough seas, I think I would rather jump and go and swim somewhere else instead of staying on the boat. But Paul had to go through that. For 2 weeks, he was in the storm. And at the start of Acts 28, it was a shipwreck. The whole ship was gone. They were on an island. They don't know what island was that. And soon they found out that the island was called Malta. And even then, there were still many different things that happened on that island that was so unexpected. Let's read Acts chapter 28, verse 3 to 6. Acts chapter 28, verse 3 to 6. You see, when Paul reached that island, they were trying to gather wood and start a fire. So verse 3, it says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And verse 4, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt, this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. And verse 5, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. And lastly, verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm that come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. This thing that just happened to Paul, shipwrecked, not enough, a snake bite him. And the thing is that they specifically put there a viper. Probably a viper is some poisonous snake that bit him. But if you think about it, because God was not done yet, this is a supernatural thing that happened. He shook it off. If a venom gets into your body, most probably you die within 1 to 2 minutes. But he shook it off, like nothing happened, no swelling, and even the people there were amazed at what had happened. And because this thing happened, right, if you read later on in the verse, Paul went into the village and he prayed for one of the leader's father. And this leader's father were healed. And all the people begin to see like, hey, this God that this Paul believed in is really a true God. They saw with their own eyes, the viper bite him, the shipwreck, and then started to heal this person. I'm sure in their minds they will be knowing that, hey, this is truly the God that they can serve, that they can believe in. God was not done yet. Very unexpected, shipwreck, bitten by a snake. But Paul was still ready to be able to share the gospel, still ready to heal and to minister to the people there. It's so amazing that through all these things, Paul still was able to stand firm and be able to do the things that God called him to do. God was really not done with him yet, even through all the detours. The story doesn't end there. In Acts 28:11, you see that they were in that island for almost 3 months, and not just 3 months of enjoying the island life. It's 3 months of winter. Cold, winter, probably if they, you read the context, they were indigenous people there. So I don't know if they have houses or they just sleep in tents, but nevertheless, winter is cold, right? 3 months you were stuck on that island before they were rescued by a ship that was going towards Rome. Again, this is one unexpected thing that happened. Not just going directly to Rome, but he had to stay in that place, stay with those people whom he may not know, minister to them. For 3 months he was there in that cold weather before he was being brought to Rome. So God's detours are really his duty tours. He brings you to places, to people, to situations that God wants you to minister to somebody. It could be in your workplace, could be at home, could be with your friends right now. You see, Paul should have died many, many, many times. We've read the whole book of Acts. You realize that Paul had been stoned, he had been beaten, thrown into jail, the lowest part of the jail. Many, many times Paul could have died. But God was not done with him yet. God still wanted to do things through him. And the book of Acts 28, it ended with him staying in Rome and being able to minister to the people in Rome on his own freedom. He had a house. He had people to come to his house. Only he had like house arrest. A guard was there watching over him, but he was free to do every other thing. He was free to meet people because God was not done with him yet. God wanted the good news to be shared even to the ends of the earth. So things may not go as how we have expected. In this season, at the end of this year, it may not go as how we expected. Maybe next year, we still don't know how it will go. And even when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus, throughout the whole book of Acts, we've been encouraging, we've been challenging every one of you to share the gospel, to share about Jesus to the people around. But even then, it may still take an unexpected turn. But God's plans are always higher than ours. And what we need to do is we need to trust Him, we need to surrender, and lastly, we need to be ready. Christmas season is coming. It's a good opportunity to be able to invite friends, to be able to share the good news of Jesus during this festive period. But be ready that things can go unexpectedly. Be ready in and out of season that you will still be able to be a witness for Christ, even though through all these things. So just my encouragement to you. In Acts, we read how many things have gone wrong. People have been oppressed, people have been persecuted, but yet Jesus was always with them. There were signs and wonders that happened, supernatural things that happened in the midst of all these things. So to encourage you is that it doesn't just end there. God is not done yet. If you look at me right now and tell yourself, God is not done with me yet. Regardless of how old or how young you are, God is not done with you yet. There are things that still God wants you to do, that God has purpose to you, for you to do. But you need to be ready for that. So that's it for my part. But next up, I want you to pay even more attention to what Pastor Rajan has to share. Because this is the sequel. The book of Acts has ended, but what happens next is what Pastor Rajan will share with you, which is the sequel of it. How can you apply this in your life, where the story continues from this book of Acts in your own life, in the lives of everyone around you? So I pass this time to Pastor Rajan.
Good evening, church. It is so good to see you on a Saturday evening. We want to thank God for the message that Chris preached, God's detour are his duty tours. Thank you for the fine message. As we come to the conclusion of the book of Acts, the final chapter, Luke may have ceased writing. It is time for you and I to start doing. The book has ended, but the story begins. We are the continuation of the book of Acts. I entitle this short sharing, "The Book Ends, Yet the Story Continues." My friends, the salvation plan of God cannot come to an end. I'd like you to turn with me to the text from which I'll be preaching this evening. Could you please turn with me to your Bibles, to Acts 28, verses 30 to 31. I like to read. "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house," see, after the storm, "and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no one forbidding him." Paul Paul should have died in the storm, Yet God overruled the plan of man and his plan prevailed. Now, what is the purpose of this short message for the next couple of minutes? Participate in the ongoing history of the church. I repeat, participate in the ongoing history of the church. I'm sure you remember Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 18 and 19, Jesus said this, "Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell throughout generation will not prevail against it." And then, in order to continue the history of the church, Jesus said, "I give you the keys, not to the kingdom, but of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And with this scheme, as a church, we need to build the church. We need to continue the history of the church. We need to continue the extension of the kingdom of God in Johor Bahru and in different places. Now, we are a body. We're not an institution. Paul tells us, let's look at Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 4 to 8. Paul tells us, we are one body with many members with different function. For every one of this function, God has given us a gift. So therefore, none of us who belong to Calvary City Church, Pusat Kebajikan Calvary, atau all Transformation Alliance, I almost spoke Bahasa Malaysia, are redundant. Every one of us have got a function. For every function that God enables us, he has given us a gifting. And that's why we are many members in one body. Let me read. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 4 to 8. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Wow. Let us use them. "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exalts in exaltation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." The question is, how do I extend the book of Acts in my own life? How do I contribute to the history of the church development? Or how can I extend the kingdom of God? By the way, you and I are the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. After 28, Acts chapter 28, there's very little talked about what happened after that. But friends, I want you to know, we are the extension of the book of Acts. In order to function effectively in participating in the ongoing history of the church as a history maker, there are four things that is required of us to do. Number one, stop being a spectator and become a participator. Number two, stop being a consumer and start becoming a producer. Number three, stop complaining and start becoming an edifier. Stop being a complainer and start being an edifier. Number four, you and I need to seek God's glory. Let's become the seeker of God's glory in contributing to the development of the church. Hallelujah. Let me just go one by one, okay? Number one, stop being a spectator and become a participator. I turn you, as a way of introduction, I turn your attention to a story in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Now, Naaman the commander just invaded the land of Israel and took people captive. And there was this servant girl that was brought to his home that she was waiting upon his wife. Now, there were a lot of people waiting on them, waiting to watch, not waiting to do. They were just watching. But this girl stood out when she saw Naaman, who is a respectable, honorable commander in the eyes of the king of Syria, had leprosy from the head to the toe. He had leprosy. Therefore, she took courage, even though she was in slavery. She took courage and took a step of faith. Just watching, she spoke to Naaman's wife, her mistress, and said, "There is a man of God whose name is Elijah, prophet, Elisha. If Naaman would go, he will be completely healed." The rest is the history. There's one person who said, "I will not be watching, I'll do something. I will not be a spectator, I will be a participator." Naaman got healed. And likewise, we cannot extend the kingdom of God. We cannot contribute to the development of the church from now and ages to come by being just a spectator. Remember, Jesus said in John, the 4th chapter, verse 34, he said, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me and to finish it." And verse 35, he said, "Cease being a spectator. Do not say, 'Yet 4 more months, then comes harvest.' But lift up your eyes and see the harvest is already white for harvest." Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you cannot continue the book of Acts in Calvary City Church or your life just by being a spectator. Watch to see. No, watch to do. Number two, stop being a consumer and start becoming a producer. Okay? Multiply, that's what I mean. As a way of introduction, I'd like to turn your attention to John, the 4th chapter and verse 14. Jesus looked at the Samaritan woman and he said this, "If anyone who's thirsty, let him come to me. When he drinks the water that I give, he will thirst no longer, but that water in him will become a fountain of life." As soon as she consumed the water of new life, she was satisfied. And then she was not contented in just being a consumer. The Bible tells us in verse 39, she went to the gates of the village of Samaria and summoned the people and told them what Jesus had done for her, and because of her testimony, that one soul was multiplied into many souls. She became a soul producer. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," not just the salt of the church. "You are the light of the world," not just the light of the church. "You are a city on the hill that cannot be hidden. And that man would see your good works, and then they will give glory to the Father." Are you here with me? So cease being a consumer. I think we have eaten enough. It's time for us to give to others. Hallelujah. Number three, stop being a complainer and become an edifier. Stop being a complainer and become an edifier. By complaining, we cannot contribute to the development of the church, cannot contribute to the extension of the kingdom of God. We need to become an edifier. Are you here with me? Let me just give you an example from Acts, the 15th chapter. We read from verses 36 right up to 41. There was a sharp difference between Paul and Barnabas over Mark. And Paul pointed his finger and complained against Mark to Barnabas and said, "Mark is a quitter. Mark is not a ministry material. Mark has deserted us, and Mark cannot be trusted." On the other hand, Barnabas had a generous heart, and he edified Mark by not addressing the complaint, by encouraging him to follow him. And many years later, we read that all of them, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, and Mark, they met together. You know? And why? Because there was one person, that is Barnabas. Instead of complaining, he became an edifier and he contributed. You know what? Someone, you know, needs a word of exaltation. Someone needs a word of healing. Someone needs a word of deliverance. And I pray that we will use our tongue rightly. And Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, Paul says this, "As it is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure." And Paul says in verse 14, Do all things, the things that you accept, the things that you agree, the things that you don't accept, the things that you don't agree, the things that you like and the things that you don't like. No, do all things without complaining and disputing, so that we can become harmless, blameless children of God in this perverse and crooked generation, that our lights may shine, that others would see our light, hallelujah, and glorify God. Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? Finally, in these last days, we need to become the glory seeker. We need to become the seekers of God's glory, because there remains a promise for the last day church. As in Haggai chapter 2 verse 9 says, "Your later glory will be greater than the former glory." As God visited Abraham in Acts the 7th chapter verse 2 and revealed himself in the light of his glory. Therefore, as we seek God, it's the glory of God that's going to heal our nation. It's the glory of God that's going to heal our family. It's the glory of God that's going to bring revival into our churches. Therefore, let us seek the glory of God. Remember, Paul said in Colossians 1:27, "Christ in us is the hope of glory, the source of the glory of God that's waiting to radiate through you is Christ Jesus himself." Remember, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, "With unveiled face, as though looking into the mirror, we see the glory of God, and we are transformed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. In those last days, before Jesus comes, the bride of Jesus must arise in His glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? As I conclude this message, you know, friends, let God's detours, sometimes we don't know why God brings detours, but they are not accidents. They are God's duty tours. And we need to say, God, thank you. As in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28, and we know all things work together for good to those who love Him and were called according to His purpose. Let us settle for God's detour, knowing God is still holding the steering of your life. Number two, let us become participators in the kingdom of God. Let's give God an opportunity to release the priestly ministry that's within each one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. This Saturday, as we come together, as we conclude the book of Acts, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, we will become the very extension of the book of Acts. The story, the chapter may have ended, but His story begins with each one of us. Thank you, dear Father. Help us to know that your hand is upon us. I pray for everyone who is watching. I pray for an extraordinary anointing to rest upon each one of them, dear Father. I pray, dear Father, that our hearts will be ready to become participators, putting their hand in the plow, dear Father. And for those of us who are wondering why there's so much of detour in our lives, more than what we thought, Father, we know that you are still at the steering wheel of our life. Thank you. Bless everyone who is hearing this message. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.